Gospels. You can go with me to John chapter 15. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 15. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have them up on the screen for you. You know, it's very important to me as a pastor, especially, you know, there's so much skepticism out there, and there's so many things you've heard on the news and things of, you know, churches getting wrong and cults and things. How do you stay safe and know that you're in a place that's right if they preach the Bible? Amen. And that's why we put it up there, because I want you to see this is not my opinion. This is not my theory. This is not my philosophies. This is what He wants to say. Amen. Father, we love You this morning. We are so grateful and so thankful for all that You've done, for all that You've given. Father, this morning marks a new beginning in our lives, an opportunity to go forward with You in the right way. Father, You only have good things for us. We're so grateful that You're a loving God. You demonstrated it by giving us Your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness this morning. We thank You for all that You've done for us, all that You'll do for us. Say what needs to be said here this morning. Do what needs to be done. Now, Father, I'm asking You right now, Lord, there's so many people in this room that are going through different things, are in different seasons in their life, different circumstances, different tests and trials. They need answers. They need help. So, Father, I thank You that You're going to speak through me this morning, and I'll say something in this message that will strike a direct chord in their heart. And, Father, it will be exactly what they need to hear, and it'll almost be a surprise in the sense that they'll think to themselves, how did he know to say that? Well, Father, the truth is I didn't know to say it, but You did. You want to help us here today. So we put our focus, we put our attention on You, and we thank You that You'll help me minister with boldness and with utterance. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what's interesting is a couple weeks ago in Olean, a couple ladies came to the church on Saturday night. And afterwards, the lady that invited them came up to me and she said, you know, when service was over, she was sitting in the middle of them. And the two ladies were on either side of her. I'd never met them in my life, you know. And when it was over, they both leaned over and looked at each other. And she's in the middle and said, was he in the car with us on the way here? Because God said things that were exactly what they needed to hear in their life. And that's a testament to Him, not me. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you'll buckle up and get hungry, if you'll buckle up and get hungry this morning for the things of God, He'll talk to you and He'll speak to you exactly where you're at. And what it'll be is it'll be a sign unto you that He's real, that He's got a better tomorrow for you, and that this is a safe place where you can come and hear from Him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. John chapter 15 and verse 7. This is the first message in our series. Going a little, Lord, direct me, go a little bit different way, and to take a message that was for today and move it to the end of this message. But it says this, it says, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's red letters in my Bible, that means Jesus said it. That's good news, by the way. He said, if you ask what you will, if you'll abide in Him, and His words abide in you, He said, you can ask for what you will, or what you need, what you want, and He said, I'll give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, if earthly parents know how to take care of their kids. Got any earthly parents in here? Yeah. You want to see your kids blessed, don't you? You don't want to see them sick. You don't want to see them defeated. You don't want to see them have lack. You don't want to see them not have enough. Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, if earthly parents know how to take care of their kids, how much more does God know how to take care of His kids? You know, the things we give God credit for, He ought to be taken away for child abuse. Come on. Well, God's doing that. God made me poor. God made me sick. Well, if you made your kids poor or sick, we'd call the cops on you. Amen. Amen. God's better. Amen. He gave us Jesus. He loves you. He wants more for you. He wants to take you where you are and pull you out of that thing. Yeah, he gave you His Son, and He said, if you'll ask, if you'll abide in Me, you'll ask, and I'll give it to you. Why? I'm a giving God. Amen. He said, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9 through 11, if you need that reference, that's where it's at. He said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? He said, because, you see, when my kids ask, Abby and Caleb ask for something, and they need something, I don't just turn away and say, oh, no, I want to bless them. Yeah. I want to be good to my kids. And God's a how much more God. Hallelujah. And so he says that in verse 7. Then he says in verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified." So it's a continuing the thought. "That you bear much fruit, that you shall be my disciples." So he's saying, the Father's glorified. Now the previous verse was saying, whenever you need something, whatever you want, whatever in your life that you have a need or a request, abide in me, my word's in you. Come to me and ask me and I'll give it to you. Well, when he gives you that, that's fruit acquiring in your life. When the manifestations of what God has said he'll do, that's called fruit. When you need peace and peace shows up, that's fruit. When you need health and health shows up, that's fruit. When you need prosperity or finances and it shows up, that's fruit. When you need a sound mind, it shows up. When you need protection, when you need help for your kids, that's the fruit that he's talking about. And he said, the Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. He wants you to be a fruit bearer. Hallelujah. Not barren, a fruit bearer. Why? He's glorified when you bear much fruit. Think about it this way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that Satan is the god of planet Earth. Now, that explains a whole lot of things you see in the news. Because if you think God's in control, he has got this place in a mess. He's not in control. We read throughout the Bible that the devil took control when Adam and Eve messed it up in the garden. But thank God, as Christians, we're not subject to the devil. We have authority over him. But as far as planet Earth goes, the devil's in control. That's why it's a mess. That's why there's wars. That's why there's storms. That's why there's horrible things you read about. Not because of God. It's because of the enemy. And see, the enemy would love to get people to think that it's him, that it's God. Because if you think God's out messing your life up, you're not going to have the faith that's required to go to him to get that thing cleaned up. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, that he's out doing the stealing, he's out doing the killing, he's out doing the destroying, right? Amen. You got to know that. It's not God. God only has good things for people. And so think of it this way. The Bible calls the devil in charge of planet Earth, which means the devil's darkness. God is light, the devil's darkness. The earth, spiritually speaking, is in darkness. Even though the lights are on, spiritually speaking, it's in darkness. Now, the Bible calls Christians the light of the world. What does that mean? Well, we're not darkness, we're light. If you turned all the lights off here and stuffed all the cracks with something to keep the light out, and it got so dark in here you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and I stood up here and I lit a match, all the attention would come onto that match. Why? Because light stands out in darkness. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians, whether we know it or not, spiritually are standing out in the darkness. Now, why would God want us to stand out and have the world look at us and the world needs what we got and look at us and say, look at that light. Look how poor they are. Look how depressed they are. Look how miserable they are. Look how sick they always are. They're always discouraged. They're always down. You see, when I was in darkness and I was going through the drug stages and the alcohol stages and the gambling stages and the wrong living stages and all the things that had a grip on me, and I was on a baseball team back there and over there, and it was 2001, and I met a gentleman on the baseball team who was full of light, full of love. He was funny and he was happy and talked good about his wife and about his kids and wasn't complaining about money and wasn't cursing all the time and wasn't down. You see, he had a lot of fruit. When you're in darkness and you're in the world, you're a starving, hungry, thirsty person. And when you see a fruit tree like that, you're drawn to it. And his goodness, the prosperity in his life, the victory in his life, the joy in his life, from where I was at, I was drawn to that. And the Father ended up being glorified because he bared much fruit, because I went and he told me, hey, Jesus will help you. He'll fix you and change your life. I was drawn to that. God wants you to bear fruit. Amen. Not the fruit of poverty, not the fruit of sickness, not the fruit of disaster for your children and tragedy and crisis all the time. No. God wants you to bear good fruit. Why? You stand out in this place. Amen. And when you bear fruit, not only is it a sign, and it glorifies Dad because Dad's happy when we bear fruit. It looks good for Dad. It draws people to Dad's kingdom. But The reason we're prosperous and the reason that we can be healthy and the reason God wants us to have peace is so we can go forward and do His work. Amen. He wants us blessed to go forward. You know, the money that we believe God for is not so we can be selfish with it. It's so we can go forward and use it. The health that we're believing for isn't so we can be selfish and just do whatever we want. It's so we can go forward with it and be used in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So He wants us blessed. Glory to God. Because when we're blessed, we can be a blessing. So He wants you to bear much fruit. There's many applications. He wants you to be blessed, but He wants the world to be blessed. Now go to meet with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. I usually preach, you know, I say usually, that's really a lie. I guess, I don't know. It just seems like I don't usually anymore preach for about 45 minutes. But we go for about 45 minutes to an hour. But it'll go quick because God will speak to you the whole time. And I'm telling you, it's supernatural when God can say stuff about your life. I have no idea what you're going through, but yet what can come through my mouth will be exactly what you need to hear. That's a sign that He's real. Amen. Amen. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's what turned me on to Him in a church that actually preached the Bible. I remember sitting in service for the first service, and it was like my pastor was just preaching a private message just to me. It was awesome, and it hooked me. Praise God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, so He says, I want you to bear much fruit. It says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now that word husbandry is a little blind to us in the King James. Kim Lai, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? The Amplified just makes it easier to understand, brings out the original meaning of the Greek. For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. Now look at this. You are God's garden. You are God's vineyard. You are God's field under cultivation. You are God's building. So the Bible says that word husbandry, that's what that word means. Cultivated field, it means garden, it means vineyard. You're God's garden, you're God's vineyard, you're God's field for him to work on. For what? What's the reason a farmer has a vineyard? To get fruit. What's the reason you have a garden? To get a crop. What's the reason you have fields? Farmers have fields. To get a yield from that thing. Amen? And the Bible says you are God's garden. You are God's vineyard. You are God's field. You can go back to the King James. Those things that I mentioned, fields, vineyards, and gardens, are meant to produce things that are a blessing. Amen? And the Bible says, you're that to God. Okay, now go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. God wants you to bear the maximum fruit that you can in your life of healing, of prosperity, of joy, of peace, of victory, of sound mind, of protection, of favor, of wisdom. He wants you to bear it all in the maximum potential. Just like I don't want my kids blessed in one area and hurt in another area, I want my kids blessed in all areas. Just like you do. God's no different. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. Now I'm going to read down through verse 20 and then I'm going to explain some things. It says, the sower soweth the word. Now remember, he said you're a fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. And he says you're like a garden, like a field, and like a vineyard. So we see what God spiritually looks at us and how He looks at us through His eyes. It says the sower sows the word of God, that is. Well, what's a sower normally sows what? A seed. Farmer goes out before harvest time. They got to do what? They got to sow seed. You want to get an apple tree, you got to sow seed. You want to get corn, you got to sow seed. But now he's saying that the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was in their heart. So that's the first place the word gets sown, is the wayside. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, that's the second place, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns. That's the third type of place the word gets sown. They hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So he says, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So in this little sermon that Jesus preaches, he says that the word gets sown, and that it lands on four different types of ground. The wayside, the stony, the thorny, and the good ground. And we see some things in this series, in this sermon that I want to bring out to you. So are you ready? If you're a note taker, number one. Because what's the purpose of this series? Well, I'll tell you what the purpose of this series is. For you to be bearing the maximum potential of fruit in your life. Because when you are, its life is good. When you're bearing fruit of prosperity, and you're bearing the fruit of health, and you're bearing the fruit of your kids doing what they're supposed to do, and you're bearing the fruit of favor, and you're bearing the fruit of wisdom, I'll tell you what, life's good. But not only is life good, you are a light, and you're going forward, and you are dominating in this world. That's what God has for His children. I don't care what religion tells you. What does the Bible say? Religion will keep you down and tell you, oh, you're just going to barely make it till you get to heaven. Just hold on tight. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. My Bible says greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. My Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. My Bible says I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says I'm to reign in life, not be defeated and dominated. I'll tell you, I hate religion. You say, you're a pastor. How do you hate religion? I hate it. I love relationship, amen. Not religion. Religion will just wear people out. How bad they are, and how mad God is at you, and how it's so bad to get to heaven. That's why a lot of these songs, you know, we don't sing doubt and unbelief songs that sing about, oh, the sweet by and by. When we get there, oh, then things will be good. Nope, things are good right now. When you're bearing fruit, things are good right now. I don't care where you're at in life. God wants to turn it and make it better. Amen. Yeah, that's why we're here this morning. And there are people that could stand up and testify and say, that man is telling the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Life is different for me now that I know Him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So He says here, now here we go, if you're a note taker, number one, in this series we're trying to get you to bear fruit, but number one, you are the ground. In this sermon, Jesus is likening people to the ground. You didn't know that your pastor was going to call you a piece of dirt today. But that's exactly what you are, is a piece of dirt. Amen. But be the right kind of dirt. So you are the ground, but here's the thing you need to know. You determine which ground you are. You determine whether you're the wayside, the stony, the thorny, or the good ground. It's up to you to determine what ground you are. But God says that you are the ground, that the sower sows the word and it falls on different people and their hearts are like different types of ground. Now, go to Romans 2 and verse 11 real quick. You determine what ground you are. Romans 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now, that's a little confusing. But the NIV, a little more modern translation that makes it easier for us, says, God shows no favoritism. No favoritism. The one thing that I loved about His kingdom is that it's a level playing field. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on, what part of the county you were born in, what your last name was growing up. Doesn't matter. With God, everything is equal and everybody's got a shot. You can have as much or as little of God as you want. You can have as much blessing of God as you want and much lack of what God doesn't want for you to have. It's up to you. He said to the children of Israel, He said, this day I've set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life. He says, you choose it. It's up to you. It's up to you. You pick. I'll give you the way of life. It's up to you what ground you are. God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't say, you know, I'm going to make this group of people good ground and they're going to produce fruit. And I'm going to make this group of my same children and my same family, I'm going to make them the bad ground that doesn't produce fruit and they're not going to be as blessed. No, you wouldn't do that for your own kids. In fact, I would imagine you give your own kids the same opportunity to be just as blessed as the other one, as the other kids. Amen. So you're the ground, you're a dirtbag. Piece of dirt here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Hallelujah. You determine what ground you are. That's number one. But number two, are you ready? He said, the sower sows the word. The Word is the topic here. So the second, if you're a note taker, is it's the Word that causes growth in a person's life. It's the Word, because the Word is likened to a seed. He said, it's the Word that causes growth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse... Actually, you know what Kim Lyon said? Go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, just for time's sake. People ask me, Pastor, what's the secret? It's easy. There's three steps to living the most blessed life ever, and today I'm going to show you step number two. Number one is just get saved. Number one is get born again, just to get in the family, get accept Jesus, get your sins washed away, become a child of God. And I'm going to show you today step number two, and this is the step people trip up so much, and it's so easy. But that's where we'll get towards at the end of the service. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, look what Peter says. He says, as newborn babes, just like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. How do you grow? The Word. How do you grow? The Word. How do you grow? The Word. The Word is what causes growth. So take away the Word and you take away the growth. No Word, no growth, no fruit. That's just the way it is. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Paul over there, and I'll just reference it since we didn't turn there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about feeding. He said, I could not feed you as spiritual people or mature people. I had to feed you with milk. He said, I wanted to feed you the meat of the Word, but I had to feed you the milk of the Word because you weren't ready for it yet. He was talking about the Word being what people used to grow with. Jesus said this. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word is how we grow. Take away the Word, take away growth. Take away growth, take away the fruit. Take away the blessings. Hallelujah. So number one, you are the ground. You determine what ground you are. Number two, it's the Word that causes growth. Now are you ready for number three? The Word, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14, where it says, or Mark 4 and verse 14, where it says, the sower sows the Word. The Word is likened unto a seed. Right? Now, he goes on and tells us in that verse that the seed falls on different ground. It falls on the wayside. It falls on the stony. It falls on the thorny ground. And it falls on the good ground. And so then it produces, of course. Now, here's the point I want you to write down for number three. The Word or the seed is blessed according to the ground it falls on, not according to the makeup of what's in the seed. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Let me say that again. The Word or the seed is blessed according to the ground it falls on, not according to the makeup of that seed. Now, here's an example I can think of that will help you. Let's say we brought in some food engineers, whatever, scientists, farmers, and they all got together, the smartest minds in the world, and they engineered the very best corn seed for sweet corn that's ever been made. And you have a piece of that corn from that corn seed, and you bite it today. You say, my goodness, that is the juiciest. That is the sweetest. That is the best piece of corn I've ever tasted. And they say, it is absolutely the best. It is foolproof. This, what's in this seed, the makeup of the seed, will produce that corn like you've never had before. And they come in and they give us all that corn, and we get excited. We got this great corn seed. I love corn on the cob. I love corn on the cob. And so I'm excited because I can have the best corn on the cob ever. So I get my seed and I start throwing it on the carpet. Well, does it matter what's in that seed? Does it matter how engineered and how good it was and how what it's produced on other places? If I put it on the wrong ground, it doesn't matter how good the seed is. The Word of the seed is blessed according to the ground, not according to the makeup of the seed. Why do I tell you that? Because the Word, well, let's just see what the Bible says about the Word. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, aren't you glad you're born again? Amen. What does that mean? That means just accept Jesus. You know, salvation is easy. It's not about church attendance. It's not about how good you are, how bad you are. It's not about how much good works, bad works, how much money you've given. It's about, do you believe in him? Have you received him? That's the qualifier. You do remember the guy on the cross, the two guys on the cross. One was on Jesus' right, one was on his left. One said, if you're the Son of God, get us off here. You're not who you say you are. And the other one said, I believe that you are who you say you are. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you know what? You didn't go to church enough. You know what? You're here on this cross because you were a bad person. Nope. Jesus said, okay, I'll see you up there. See you in paradise. Praise God. Yeah, religion will tell you it's hard and difficult to get to God. Nope, he made it simple. I'm glad. I love him for that. But 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So the Bible calls the word incorruptible or perfect seed. It's the greatest engineered seed that has the potential to produce the best and maximum amount of fruit that's ever been seen before. It's perfect. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us more about this seed that gets sown onto the ground. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God, the seed of God, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharp. Woo-hoo! That's the makeup of that seed. That's the components of that seed. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So number three, the word, because remember, you're the ground. You determine what ground you are. It's the word or the seed that causes growth, right? I want an apple tree, not until you plant a seed. I want a piece of corn, not until you plant a seed. So the sower sows the word onto the ground. Number two, it's the word that causes growth. Number three, the word or the seed is blessed according to the ground, not according to the makeup of the seed. Now number four, now get this. This is, go back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Hallelujah. It's going to be life-changing for people today, I'm telling you. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus said the sower sows the word. It says that it falls on different types of ground. And the ground represents people. And he said that, well, I'll just read my fourth point and you can take your notes. The majority of people are not good ground and don't produce any fruit. I said, man, this is always real encouraging. The majority of people are not good ground and don't produce much fruit, if any fruit, even though, everybody say even though, even though the most productive, best, most powerful, most insightful wisdom mind that engineered this seed, even though that falls on them. Let me just say that and condense that. Most people are not good ground and will never produce much fruit, if any at all, even though the best seed in the world will fall on them. I say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Isn't it interesting that all four of these grounds heard the word? The word fell on the wayside. The word fell on the stony. The word fell on the thorny ground. And the word fell on the good ground. The seed, the greatest seed ever, the incorruptible perfect seed, the sharp, quick, powerful seed, fell on every single one of them. Yet the Bible says only one out of the four that heard it got anything out of it. What is Jesus saying? This is sobering. But remember, you determine what ground you're in. He said 75% of people that have the word sown in their life will get nothing out of it. Even though, see, you take that corn seed and you throw it down here, if you throw it out in the parking lot, not going to do anything for you. The seed wasn't the problem. But you take the seed out to a nice fertile field, and you plant that in the field, let the rain hit it and do it, get that field ready. Oh, that seed's going to produce then. Well, why didn't it produce here? It's not that the seed was the problem. The seed wasn't the problem on the wayside ground or the stony ground or the thorny ground. It was the ground that was the problem. What's he saying? 1/4 of people that hear his word will get nothing out of it. That's sad. That's wasted seed. I proved this once. I used to be a youth group leader at the Jamestown Church. And, you know, sometimes my youth group anointing still comes out of me. You know, we start talking about boogers and just different things like that. You know, that's just that youth group coming up out of me. That's the kind of stuff you talk about with them people. You know, kids like that stuff. Hallelujah. And I was preaching to a group one night. And I was talking about, see, in a church, I was in Pastor Tim's church serving under him as the youth leader. It's my job as the youth leader to not build my own kingdom in that youth group. My job is to point those kids towards the local church and towards their pastor. Yeah, it's not the youth leader that is going to be with them forever. It's the shepherd that's supposed to help them. And so I would always point them towards Pastor Tim and the local church and things. And most of their families went to the church. Some didn't, but I encouraged them, you know, I'm a youth leader, but the pastor, you need a pastor, not a youth leader. You don't need a youth leader, you need a pastor. And so I was talking about one day to really try to instill some things in them about honoring your shepherd. And going through scriptures about what the Bible says about honoring your shepherd. Because the Bible talks about honoring spiritual leaders. There's certain things you can do. And so I was saying to them, you know, if Pastor Tim's your pastor, we ought to do the Bible and honor him. And I told them different ways they could honor him, you know. There's financial honor. They could just give him a card, be kind, say a nice word, do something for him, you know. Just honorable. Going through the Bible and different examples. So I know maybe some of you don't have money to give, but if you do, you know, give him a card with $5 and God will bless you for that. It's honorable. Give him a card and tell him you're thankful that he preaches the word to you. Offer to go mow his grass or something. Just do something for him. Amen? To honor him. Try to teach kids honor. That's a big problem in the body of Christ is the lack of honor. Lack of honor. So I thought, well, it's not going to be that way with these kids. So I was teaching the kids honor to be honorable. That's why when people talk to my kids, they're not allowed to look down and talk or look away. No, no, you look in the face and you say hello. Yeah. Teach them to be honorable. Yeah. My kids are not allowed to walk away from me and slam the door and have an attitude. That's dishonor. That's right. Come on. They're not allowed to give me lip. That's dishonor. I'm not raising some dishonorable brat. Nope. I remember hearing one minister say this. She said that her mom said to her, you're going to obey me and you're going to listen to me. My life is too short to have you ruin it. The Bible says, parents, that children should be honorable and obedient, for this is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with them on the earth and that they'll live long on the earth. You think you're doing your child a favor by being buddies with them and letting them back talk to you and mouth off to you and have attitude with you and you give them every single thing they want and just, well, it's amazing. You know, I hear people, their kids, I was watching, I was flipping through the channels one day, it was a reality show and I saw this kid making a scene on TV, so I had to stop and see this. And he's over there playing and a bunch of kids are playing and the mom calls in, it's time to eat. And the little 3-4-year-old out there is sitting there, and he's still lagging behind. So dad comes back out and goes, buddy, come on, it's time to go eat. I don't want to. I thought, okay, here we go. The show's getting ready to start. I don't want to. And dad says, oh, okay, buddy. Well, we'll just sit here and play. We'll have mommy bring you lunch. I said, you wuss. You just taught your child that they can do what they want to do, not what you want them to do. It is so backwards. Well, I don't want to go to church, your point. We tell my kids all the time, this ain't a democracy. And my kids are blessed. And my kids are honorable, praise God. And when they're not, they get put back in line for it. It's not okay to be dishonorable. Amen? It's not okay to raise children that have no respect for the house of God, no respect for the pastor, no respect for the things of God, just do whatever they want in a church and run through the church with brownies all over their fingers and spilling chocolate milk. No, no, no. This is the house of God. Amen. Amen. And if they don't learn it from you, they won't learn it. And if you don't want to be well with your children and live long in this, because I don't know about you, but my kids didn't come out of the womb honorable. My kids didn't come out of the womb obedient. They had to be taught those things. Amen. Hey, mom and dads, be the parent. It's okay. You're loud. In fact, you'll stand before Jesus because that's the role He gave you. Say, well, God will parent, pastor will parent. Nope, God gave you to be the parent. You are to train them. You are to... I'm going to tell you, it's pretty good, though. You know, usually you start talking about people's money and people's kids, and it gets quiet in here. You did pretty good today. Praise the Lord. Just trying to help you. You got to learn honor. You got to learn it. So I was teaching those kids honor. Is this what you can do, you know? 3-4 months went by. And it came to my attention. I was preaching on the parable of the sower for the kids. And it came to my attention to ask them, I said, how many of you were in that service, because you had new kids all the time, I said, how many of you were in that service 3-4 months ago when I preached on honoring your pastor? And 20 of them raised their hand, and a bunch of other ones that weren't in the service. I said, okay. I said, I want to test the word right now. I said, 20 of you heard me talk about that it's biblical to honor your pastor. I said, now everybody bow your heads and close your eyes, what I told them. I said, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But I said, don't lie to me. And they respected me too much to lie to me. I mean, they used to think that I could hear from God on anything in their lives, when the truth was I probably could hardly hear anything. You know, God only shows me what He shows me. Amen? Abby thinks we have a mirror, or a camera in our mirror. Did you wash your hands? Yes, because she knows. The mirror's watching. Say, you're a liar. I don't know about that, but anyway. She probably heard it now and thinks, oh, that ain't true. I said, heads bowed, eyes closed. I said, how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you did anything that I told you about what the Bible says? Not what Pastor Mike suggested, what the Bible said to do. 20 kids, guess how many raised their hand? 5. You know what 5 out of 20 is? 1/4. Jesus said, 1/4 of people that hear the word will actually do it. And I proved it out that day. Amen. It's true. They all heard the word here, yet only 1/4 got anything out of it. So today, I'm not going to talk about each ground. That was my introduction. But that doesn't mean we're going to go all day. I'm not saying that. We're almost done. I'm just saying this is the introduction to this series. I want to show you the first step to making sure that you are in a position to bear much fruit in your life. You can't get it any other way. Why? Because it's His way. Amen? Amen? Are you ready?
Amen.
Number one, and that's all we're doing, is just one point, and I'm going to close with these few verses. How do we make sure that we're good ground? Put yourself in a position of consistent watering, planting, sowing, and hearing the word. That's the first step. And I'm going to show you the Bible to back it up. Remember, don't take what I say. Make sure it's in the Bible. The first thing is to make sure. You say, I want to bear fruit, Pastor. I want to make sure. I want to walk in health and wealth. And when I say wealth, I'm not talking about some crazy Donald Trump style stuff. I'm talking about what Bible wealth is, which is your needs being met and having enough left over to be a blessing. Amen. That's biblical richness. Amen? And I want to walk in that. I want my bills paid. I want to be able to be a blessing. I want to walk in health. I want to walk in victory. I want my kids to serve God. I want to... Okay, well, this is number one. Make sure you put yourself in a position, a consistent position of hearing, sowing, and being watered by the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll just go through these verses, and we'll close with this. Let's go to verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Well, who are they? Well, he's going to tell us. Ministers. By whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now look what Paul says in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered. Well, with knowing what we know about the word is the seed, the sower sows the word in your ground, what is Paul watering, or what is Paul planting, and what is Apollos watering with? the Word. They're watering with the Word. They're ministers. What are they doing? They're sowing the Word. What are they doing? They're preaching and teaching the Word. They're telling people the Word. What's happening? In the Spirit, seeds going out and falling on people. Amen. To be able to produce something for them. He says, but God gave the increase. Notice this. There's no increase until there's first a planting and a watering. But how's the planting and watering done? By a minister sowing the Word. Amen. Mark 4, and we know this. Mark. So that's one place. Mark 4 in verse 14 says the sower sows the Word. So the minister sows the Word, the sower sows the Word. Now go to John chapter 21 and verse 15. It's got a few more places to go. John 21, 15. I want people blessed so bad it keeps me up at night in prayer, not in worry and fear. It keeps me up at night pacing my floors. I want you to get it so bad. You have no idea how bad your pastor wants you to get it. I want to see you walk in the fullness. Why? I've been at the bottom of the barrel in life, and the only thing that brought me out was God's Word. Hallelujah. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said unto him, you know I love you, Lord. He said unto him a second time, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus said what about the word of God? Man shall not live by bread, but by every word. Jesus was not talking about his farm on the back 40 with his pen full of natural sheep. Peter, make sure when I'm gone you do my chores. And make sure my sheep are still getting fed. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what ministers do in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Mark chapter 4 is they sow the word, or they feed by the sowing of the word. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said to Peter, now remember, the word causes growth. Take the word away, take the growth away. You'll never be a fruit producer without the word being sown onto the ground. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked him. He said, the one way that you can prove to me that you love me and the thing that I want to see the most to make sure of is that my sheep or my people get fed. He was saying, sheep can't feed themselves. They need a shepherd to feed them. The minister in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 watered and planted. Sheep don't water and plant themselves. The sower sows the word. The ground doesn't sow the word. The ground receives the word. Amen. Oh, man. Sheep can't. Why are you laughing, Pastor Mike? Because people buck this all the time. They say, I'll just sit home. Me and my Bible. Me and my Jesus. And it'll all work out. The problem is, he said that sheep can't feed themselves. Sheep can't water themselves. Sheep can't sow to themselves. And people have zero, a lot of times, revelation of the importance of what God has required in their life. And they make decisions based on it. And they do things based on it. And they just realize they're walking around saying, I want to be a barren tree. I want to be a barren tree. I want to produce no fruit in me. I want to be a barren tree. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm almost done, I promise. After that little display, it's probably good that I'm almost done. I'm glad I'm almost done after that. Matthew 9 and verse 35. So Paul said, I had to, for God to give the increase, I had to plant, Apollos had to water, ministers had to do it. In Mark chapter 4, it said the sower had to sow to the ground for the ground to grow. In John chapter 21, Jesus said to Peter, the number one way that you can prove to me is that if you'll feed my lambs, you feed my lambs, not the lambs feed themselves. Well, why? Because Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 9. Now, I told you, I'll tell you the ways to be blessed. Number one, get saved. Number two, this is number two. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. We'll close with this. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amplified, please, Kim Lai, if you would. When he saw the throngs of people, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was saying that his children, yeah, they're born again. Yeah, they're going to heaven. But when sheep don't have a shepherd, he pities them. And their life will look like dejection, harassment, bewilderment, helplessness, scattered and faint. Go back to the King James, please. Jesus didn't say, sheep are scattered and faint without an apostle, without a prophet, without an evangelist or a teacher. He said, sheep are messed up in life when they don't have a shepherd. Now, what's a shepherd do? A shepherd does what the Bible told us a shepherd does. Sows the word, preaches the word, waters with the word, plants with the word. Amen. You see, Ephesians chapter 4, I got to tell you, in verse 11. In verse 8, he said he gave gifts to men. Gifts. Think about the word gift. A gift from God. I am almost done, I promise. Verse 11. He gave some. Now he said he gave gifts. Now he's going to tell you what the gifts that he gave. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Who are these people? They're ministers. What does ministers do? The first qualification of every minister is the same thing Jesus did. He went about their villages teaching and preaching, teaching and preaching. The apostles' first job is to teach and preach. The prophets' first job, teach and preach. The evangelists, same thing. Teachers, same thing. And the shepherd's main job is to teach and preach. Feed the word, sow the word, plant the word, water the word. But he said they're gifts to people. They're anointed men and women of God who have something on their life that the sheep need to be blessed. Because he said in verse 12, why did he give those to them? For the perfecting of the saints. For God's people, and where they're lacking, these ministers will come in and say and sow and plant and water what they need to, and the people will get it, and that which is lacking in their life will be perfected. That's called fruit bearing. But he didn't say in Matthew chapter 9 that sheep are scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered, and helpless without an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a teacher. Go back to Matthew 9:36 real quick, Kim Lyon. Just look up at the screen there. He said their sheep are that way without a shepherd. That word shepherd in the Greek is the word pastor. Amen. It's Jesus is saying to people, if you don't have a shepherd in your life that's consistently watering and feeding you, this is what your life's going to look like. And you know what people do all the time? They remove themselves out from under that, go into no man's land. That's what they do. Oh, I'll just stay home. I'll just stay home. You know, it's just too hard. It's too sunny. Come on. It's too nice out today. I'm too tired. I got to set my clock ahead. Man, I'm so glad Jesus didn't think, you know, that cross don't sound fun. I'm too tired to go to the cross. This ain't a good day. Here, the prophet of God spoke in this place one time and said that every time that I open my mouth from behind here, it's a heavenly IV drip into you. You need healing, it's getting ministered to you through the Word. You need things for your children. You know what I told you about your kids today? It'll save you a lot of headaches with your children. If you'll do the Word, if you'll believe the Word about honor and obedience about your children. And every Sunday and Wednesday, the Word's getting sown, the Word's getting watered, the Word's getting planted. And people decide, Survivor's on tonight. And here Jesus said, it's up to you. See, because here's the thing. Those one out of the four, there's a fifth type of ground. You say, what's that? The ground that doesn't even hear at all. At least these people were in a position of hearing. The three out of the four that didn't get anything, at least they were hearing. What about the people that say, I don't need that pastor business. I don't need that shepherd. I got me and Jesus and Joel Osteen. Yeah, go ahead. Call Joel Osteen when your kids need their hands laid on them. Call Joel Osteen when you need someone to marry somebody. Need someone to bury somebody. Need someone to come to the hospital. Need some advice. Go ahead and call him. You'll never get him on the phone. Ever. Nothing against him. You don't understand what I'm saying. I got my TV preacher. No. The shepherd lives amongst the sheep. Interacts with the sheep. And the number one job of a shepherd and the number one job of a sheep, it's intertwined. It's the sowing and the feeding of the sheep, and then it's the sheep coming and actually, or the sowing of the shepherd, and then the sheep coming and feeding on it. I can be a farmer and ring the dinner bell, and the old stubborn cow can stand over in the corner and not eat if it doesn't want to. It's true. It's getting opportunity. Here it is. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday, it's been scattered out. Life-changing stuff. Every Sunday, every Wednesday. And I'll close with a story. And I'll shut my Bible to make you really excited about that I'm really closing. Hallelujah. Because, you know, it seems like preachers lie a lot when they say that. I don't mean to, but there's a gentleman that goes to the Jamestown Family Church. His name is Jeff Trussler. I grew up hunting with him on his dad's property. His dad and my dad were best friends growing up, played baseball and basketball together. And he had a good piece of property. And we'd go over there on opening day. We'd go over there, not as much opening day, but on Thanksgiving and the first Saturday and things like that. And get a lot of guys. That's where I shot my first deer, you know, and they accused me of shooting Old Yeller. That's how small it was, you know. And we were over there, and Jeff was a little bit older than me, but in high school, end of high school years and getting out of high school, he got mixed up into some really bad things. And his life went downhill to the point where he's so mixed up on drugs and hard drugs and prescription medication and terrible, I mean, smoking like a chimney and drinking like, you know, just messed up. His life's depressed and everything. And I knew about it and I heard him. And I remember seeing him one day walking on the streets of Frewsburg and I thought, my goodness, I used to hunt with him and his life was so different. My heart just went out to him. And then one day I walked into the Jamestown Church for a special guest minister meeting and I saw Jeff sitting in the back. And man, I almost had a heart attack. I was like, if that guy can come to church, anybody can get into a church. Because that's just where he was. He was so far from the things of God. And I went up to him and said, brother, it is so good to see you here. I said, could we get together sometime? He's like, yeah, let's go walk the property. It was like springtime. We're going to go look for antlers that have fallen off and look for sheds, you know, on the ground. And took him out in the woods and talked to him. And actually got him filled with the Holy Ghost that day. And he started talking to me. He said, you know, he said, I'm pretty much free from everything. He said, I still smoke a little, and I'm going to get rid of that. I don't like that. It's not good for me, you know. He's like, and I've just gotten off the prescription medication and addicted to that. He's like, my life's taken a turn. I said, brother, from where you were, what happened? He said, well, a couple years ago, I was walking outside my trailer in Falconer down a country road. Just mad at the world, mad at everything. Couldn't stand life, mad at everybody. And as I was walking, I noticed on the other side of the road there was some crumpled up newspaper. And man, that made me mad. I just started a cussing and going on about the blankety blank that would throw that out, and the beepity beep and the boppity bop and the boopity boop, you know, all them guys. He said, I'm just so, why would people do that? It just made him mad. He said about the third or fourth night, he got sick of seeing it. So he went over and he picked it up to go throw it away. He said, I'm going to just throw it away. I'm tired of seeing this. When he picked it up, he could see in it, and he unraveled a little bit, and it was Bible verses in a newspaper. Well, the Bible says that the word is incorruptible. It's incorruptible on a newspaper crumpled up on a country road. The Bible says it's quick, it's sharp, and it's powerful. It's even quick, sharp, and powerful crumpled up on an old country road. And he started to read the word, and something on the inside of him, it spoke to him. And so he got himself a Bible. And he said he started getting into the Word. He said things started to change a little bit. And he was really hungry and studying for it because it gave him a feeling that he'd never had before. That no drug could give him. This is a peace that only Jesus could give you. And as he was reading through the Bible for 2 years, he said the turning point of my life came after 2 years when I realized in the Bible, I'm not meant to do this by myself. I'm not anointed to do this by myself. I'm not equipped to get where I need to go by myself. And the Bible, all throughout the Word of God, points to a person having a shepherd. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was right there in their midst? And he said, I have compassion and I pity you. Here was the greatest shepherd of them all. And he said, you need a shepherd because I'm going to be leaving. Amen. Amen. I'm not your shepherd if I preach to you 12 times a year. If you're not in my services and you're just listening by live stream, I'm not your shepherd. Ouch! I'm not! It's just the truth. I'm not saying you can't every once in a while because emergencies happen. People can't be here all the time. I get that. We're not talking about being in a ditch where if you miss, it's like, oh my gosh, you're going to hell. No. We're talking about the attitude of, take it or leave it. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, he's my pastor. No. The sheep and the shepherd are face to face. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you. Not through the airwaves or through a letter. He said, I long to see you. There's an impartation. There's a transfer in the seeing. Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you can't go on vacation. Doesn't mean work can't pop up every once in a while and keep you out. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the attitude of, take it or leave it. If I have a shepherd, okay. You're setting yourself up for dejection, harassment, bewilderment, helplessness, and distress. Right. Don't mock Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll do it myself. Okay. You must be one of those special people that get to do it outside of what the book says to do. That's why people struggle. They don't do it the way the book says to do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you and we praise you. Father, we want to be good ground. We want to be good ground. We want to walk in everything you have for us, Father. Lord, you paid such a price for us. You didn't die on the cross so we could be poor. You didn't die on the cross so we could be sick. You didn't die on the cross so we could be tormented in our mind and in our emotions. No, you gave us Jesus because you love us. Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant God kind of life. Hallelujah. I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Please, no looking around. Let me start by saying, I won't embarrass anybody in here. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. The first step to getting the most blessed you can in this life is accepting Jesus. That's number one. And then after that comes finding a Bible-teaching church with a shepherd who will preach the word. I'm not the only one in the whole world. Please don't think that I think that I am, because I know I'm not. But I am one that will preach the Bible. And God will tell you if I'm your pastor or not. You'll know in your heart, that's my shepherd. But number one, it starts at the cross with Jesus. I want everybody with heads bowed and eyes closed to ask themselves a question here. Ask yourself this question in your head. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven? Everybody, ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know for a fact that I will go to heaven. I know for a fact that I will go to heaven. Hallelujah. I know for a fact that when my life is over, I will receive Jesus and see Him face to face. You say, how can you be so sure, Pastor? When you lay your head down in your pillow at night, how do you know for sure? Well, I do what the Bible said to do. You say, how do I get to heaven? How do I know I'm going to heaven? How do I do it? What's the way in? Well, there's two qualifications. Number one, you got to believe in Jesus. That's it. That's it. Number one. The Bible says, for whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The first step is believing in Jesus. If you say, Pastor, I do believe in Him. I believe He's real. I don't understand everything, and I can't figure it all out in my head. But in my heart of hearts, I know Christ was real. And I know He died on the cross. I know He rose again. That's the first step. But there's a second step. Because the devil believes in Jesus, but he's not going to heaven. The second step is what the devil will never do. And that's receive Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The first step is believing. The second step is asking the Lord in. The Bible says He knocks. He stands at the door and knocks. He's waiting for you to invite Him in. He won't barge in. He's a gentleman. He won't storm in. He's not an intruder. He wants to be invited in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you can say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus. I thought by being a good person, I thought by going to church, I thought by this or by that I'd go to heaven. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. We're not asking you to become a member of this church. We're just asking you to become a member of the kingdom of God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. I won't have you stand up. I won't have you say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just lift your hand in the air and then put it right back down? Anybody at all? I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you for your boldness. I appreciate that. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive the Lord? Again, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. But if you say, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, listen, don't let today pass you by. We don't know what's going to happen around the next corner. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. So again, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you haven't raised your hand, but you know you should, anybody else want to receive the Lord here this morning, just lift your hand in the air that already has it, and I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. So that's why I just don't want to rush this. I remember this moment in my life. It was the greatest moment ever. I accepted the Lord. Again, it's not about church attendance, and it's not about if you've been good or bad. It's about, did you ever officially ask the Lord into your life? Anybody else, before I close the service, that wants to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand in the air if you already haven't? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, you're not becoming a member of this church. That's how easy God made it to go to heaven. He said, just remember the criminal on the cross? The criminal on the cross didn't have great church attendance. He wasn't the greatest person in the world. We don't know if he was a charitable giver. We just know he was a bad guy. And Jesus said, if you believe, that's how good he is. So again, we're not asking you to become a member of the church. Anybody else, before we close the service today, that's not received Jesus, that you've not officially asked him in your heart and you want to do so, would you just raise your hand before I close the service? Anybody else that has not raised their hand, anybody at all before we close? So how do I know I'm supposed to? Your heart's telling you. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. That's why we don't rush things. Because God works on people's hearts. Sometimes people are just shy. I was shy. I wouldn't want to raise my hand. But I'm assuring you, people's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody here. That's not what we're in the business of doing. Anybody else before we close? This is last call. Won't go in once. Just raise your hand. I'll have you put it right back down. Going once, going twice. Anybody else want to receive the Lord? Father, we had five hands today. Now, Lord, if by chance there's other people in this service or listening by live stream that didn't raise their hand, or of course I couldn't see their hand, it's not the raising of the hand that gets us into heaven. It's the believing and receiving of you. So if you raised your hand, you have one thing left to do, and that's just to invite Jesus in. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm going to help you. But I won't embarrass you. I already told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me, but the whole church is going to pray it with you. So your voice is not the only one that's going to be heard. We're all going to lift our voice, but I'm telling you, the Bible says you must call on His name. You must ask Him to come into your heart. Raising your hand is not an invitation for Him to come in. You got to invite Him in. So if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, along with everybody else in the church, go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that You rose again from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd look up here before we close. Hallelujah. God is good. That day happened for me on January 10th of 2002. I gave my heart to the Lord. And the first step is getting saved. And I encourage all those that raise their hand. The second step is finding a Bible teaching church. Going there and planning and hearing about all that God has for you. Does it have to be here? No. But it does need to be a place that they're teaching the Bible. And I give you my word as the pastor of this church, I will preach the Bible. Amen. And I'll love you and pray for you. But you go where God's telling you to go. He's got a home for everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's the second step. Actually, you say, what's the third step? The third step is just doing everything you hear in the Bible. That's the way to a blessed life. Get saved, get a Bible teaching church, do what's in the Bible. That's it. Well, don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30 we'll be here. And also in our old sanctuary, we do have refreshments over there. We do encourage you to avail yourself to those. Father, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves, the shout of the King, the Son of God. Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves. times seen when I win. I can see when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can see 'cause you pick me up.